Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, David Trier. He has an extensive background doing technical leadership. He's been a consultant, a solutions architect. He's been a CTO, a big data services director, also a official member of Forbes Technology Council. Today, his main role is VP of Product at ModelOp, which is leading AI governance software, helping global enterprises govern and scale their AI. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, Thomas. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. So let's talk about the problem that you guys are solving, and let's steep ourselves in appreciating what are people struggling with today?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can appreciate AI is everywhere, right? You can't turn the page or turn the corner and not hear about AI and now agentic AI, right? And so what we do is these large enterprises are trying to see how they can adopt and use AI to provide transformational value, whether it's the top line revenue or some of their back office optimization. But they're challenged because there's this real demand from all aspects of the business, all different teams to use AI. But their challenge is to say, how do I do so safely, effectively, and really within the confines of what we're trying to do from a business perspective? So they're struggling to keep pace with the demand coming from the different business teams, but do so in a way that protects the organization at whole and does the right thing for the organization as hard. That's the heart of the problem that we help to solve day in and day out.
So give us some examples of a company not doing it safely or not doing it responsibly and then falling into problems because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, many companies start this where they just have different business teams that start to swiping credit cards and say, oh, I'm going to start using this particular AI system. I'll leave some of the names out of it. I'm just going to start using this AI system. And what happens is later on, something goes wrong. Right? They find out that it gives a bad response to a customer or that it actually impacts a particular business process. And so they find out later. They didn't even know it was running, right? Other than the team that was using it. So that's one of the biggest things that go wrong is that you don't even know that AI is being used in some pocket of the business and something goes wrong, right? So that's where most of it stems. It's just a kickstart to say, oh, okay, we need to do this differently. We have to take a different approach. We need to get a little bit of a corral or rein in the wild west of AI.
Yeah. And then how about the problems of the different teams, different types of teams, and you've got this diversity of work and roles and completely different ways that an organization uses AI. So like the thing that the finance department is doing with AI is going to look totally different from the software developers or the people in marketing. And so is this just across the board, just a company wants to catch up and be on the cutting edge or make sure that they're reaping benefits from AI regardless to the type? And it's just generally, they just need to be using AI? Or are there specific key areas of types of AI usage that we're talking about?
Yeah. So to your first point, I talked about what happens when it goes wrong, but you set up the actual problem very well, is that you have pockets, different departments, different lines of businesses, different teams within those departments, and each of them want to do their own approach because they have different needs, right? They have different business use cases and different business needs. So they need, call it the freedom of innovation, to be able to go buy an AI system that's specific to, say, their marketing area or their customer service, or they want to build something that's specific to, it's tied into their business process. So these different teams need and have that demand for different types of approaches, different AI technologies, et cetera. So the challenge is that, especially at the enterprise level, how do we make sure we first have that visibility, which is the first problem I mentioned, just to know what all the different teams are doing? That's the first problem that they're trying to overcome and to solve, is I just want to know what all these different teams are doing, where they're using AI, et cetera. And then the second problem comes in is, okay, how do we have a little bit of rigor around this? We don't want to slow down innovation, right? But we need to have a little bit of oversight, a little bit of rigor around how we allow these AI systems to be used by the business, because they could go wrong and they will go wrong, right? So just having a little bit of control, a little bit of rigor to understand, all right, let's make sure we have a process to go and have a central intake and make sure that we know, okay, here's the proposed AI systems. Great. Let's do an analysis of these. What are the data that's being used? What's the business process that'll be a part of? What's the impact if something go wrong? And how are we going to mitigate those risks? So some really basic questions that you want to have, but doing this so at having a consistent way at an enterprise level allows them to put a little bit of the guardrail in place, but allow each of these teams and departments to go and use and pick and develop the AI technologies that they need. That's the way that we've seen to be the most robust and scalable approach, Thomas, is to give a little bit of some guardrails, making sure that they're doing those pieces like the intake and reviews, the testing, et cetera, but then allow them to go and select the technologies that they would like that best suit their needs.
Yeah, excellent. So let's talk about how ModelOp comes together. A company decides that they want to be there in terms of the AI trends, the AI development, and reaping the benefits, and they decide to use ModelOp. How does that come together for them?
Yeah, great question. And so the way that it works is that we first start at the front end, which is just the intake process, right? So you have, as I said, all these different teams that are having requests. Oh, AI is going to solve how we do customer service in a better way. Fantastic. Let's have a consistent way to understand what the business problem that they're trying to solve first, right? So before you introduce a technology, what's the business problem you're trying to solve? What's the potential return, the ROI around doing that? And then we back into, okay, what's the technology that's going to address that business use case? And what do we need? What do we need from a data perspective? What do we need from infrastructure? What do we need from IT, if you will? So we start with that intake and just make it a consistent and easy way to go and allow different users to submit their AI ideas, right? From there, then just based on do kind of a quick business review. Does this even make sense? Because there's investment involved. There's investment of people's time and resources, and maybe you have to buy technology, et cetera. So does it even make business sense to do it? Or is it just a wild idea that, yeah, we'll probably put that on the shelf, if you will. So do a quick business review. And then based on that, then we move into the kind of traditional development aspect. If you're developing a model or buying a system, you want to get those developed or brought into your internal ecosystem, be able to test them, make sure it fits within what you're trying to do and also the business process that you're using, if you will. And then we move on to things like reviews to make sure that we're thoroughly reviewing. Here's the results. Here's how we're keeping it safe. Here's all the risks that we are helping to identify and need to mitigate, those sorts of things. So just think about it as turning something that's very ad hoc and sporadic and maybe not documented. You come in with ModelOp, you make this consistent, you make it automated as much as possible, and all the while you're making sure you have the right risk mitigation and audit trail behind the scenes.
Excellent. So your team, essentially, you're a services team and you help companies execute it. Is that correct? So they might have their own developers in IT, but you help strategically and in terms of the development execute on the AI plan. Is that how it comes?
Yeah, so we have a customer support and service team, if you will, customer success, that helps to ensure that we're implementing this. We are a product company where we have a software that helps to do everything that I just mentioned around having that intake, having that inventory, the automated workflows, the automated testing, those sorts of things. So our product actually is we've pioneered this industry over 6.5 years ago, just built on the backs of working with some lighthouse customers. The product is there to help to make sure we're automating and streamlining and providing that consistency, as I just mentioned. Of course, our customer success team is there to again, implement it specifically to their business, as every enterprise is slightly different. So yes, we help to ensure that we're tailoring it to the specifics. But what we found, Thomas, just to round that out, is that most of these enterprises know they need to do this, but they don't know how to do it. And so our product actually has been a concrete way for them to enforce and automate what they want to do. We just come with out-of-the-box experience and templates within our product just to say, okay, we know we need to do it. here's the out of the box that'll get us 80% of the way there. And then, of course, tweaking it to that remaining 20% for their specific business.
Yeah, so this is really exciting. And thank you for answering that question between the, it's really, you provide some customer success stuff, but it's the product, ModelOp, and everyone check this out, modelop.com. And so from the product perspective, is it largely a visibility thing and I'm able to execute certain decisions on it? What am I primarily doing on the product?
Yeah, so primarily on the product, as I said before, it's first about having that central enterprise level registry to be able to know, okay, I've got this idea, let's go put it in the ModelOp registry. So we know, hey, here's what all the different teams and departments, et cetera, are considering for AI. Great. So now we have visibility. That helps to overcome the first challenge of visibility. Then the second thing is that we want to have a little bit of guardrails, right? We want them to choose the technology they want, but got to have a little bit of guardrails to make sure it's not causing undue harm or undue risk to the organization. So the second piece is to help to really automate and enforce the various processes that are part of just the going from idea to usage and eventual retirement. So we have some automations that help to enforce those processes. And then the third piece is, okay, great, we've got this in, we've got it approved, our users are starting to use this AI technology. How do we know that it's driving value and it's performing as we expect? So our third piece is helping to do some ongoing monitoring, tie those back to the various risks that were identified, and surface up, okay, well, here's what's being used, here's how much is being used, and here's the performance that we're seeing, and eventually tying that back to the costs that are being incurred so that people can start to rationalize. We had these ideas for these great AI use cases. Let's rationalize the portfolio to say, did this idea, is it actually providing true value? Is it worth the cost versus the benefit? So you get into that portfolio level view, if you will.
So the features sound powerful. I'm on the website right now. The product looks beautiful. In terms of category leadership for you guys, for ModelOp, what do you think that looks like in this area as it's growing and then whatever competitors exist in that space and how you become the obvious choice in that category?
So we first started because we're pioneers, we just understood that, hey, the market is going to need this capability. Think about kind of consistent enterprise level oversight, governance, and operations, but having the freedom of choice. So we started this a long time ago where we support not just AI, AI is all the buzz, but we support traditional machine learning, statistics, vendors, even Excel spreadsheets. So first and foremost, we're all encompassing, if you will, around those. And being able to use not only any type of technology, but use automation to help to make this scalable and repeatable. Where we're going, where we'll continue to be the leaders in this, is that we have a heavy focus around now agentic AI, right? That's all the buzz beyond LLMs. It's now agentic AI. So that was very easy to us to add to our product when it started becoming more mainstream. So we have things like MCP support and A2A support, et cetera. So that's just, again, from ModelOp perspective, our leadership perspective, we're able to quickly iterate on the product and stay ahead of where our customers are of the new latest and greatest. It was LLMs, now it's agentic, and who knows what it'll be next, right? But we'll be there and ahead of that.
Yeah, next year there'll be some kind of a term. They've got to stay ahead of the
Of
Gartner hype
course.
cycle some type of way. So somebody will cook up something.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
Thomas, it's funny it's that people are talking about traditional AI versus new AI. It's like, come on, guys. AI was just came out, so to speak, mainstream, 18, 24 months ago. Now they're talking about traditional AI.
Yeah. Got to keep the VCs excited. And even looking at the product, I'm looking at the sidebar there. You've got models and different ways of having overviews and monitoring different models. And you've got model life cycles, right? Helping that all come together and compliance and operations. So this is really, when I look at this, and you've mentioned this, that it's beyond AI and it includes AI, but it's really just ops. It's a ops visibility management software. Maybe it focuses or has AI as a large central piece, but it seems like folks can use this broadly to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's actually, then that's why we named our company such ModelOps, right? It's the model, right? AI is just one type of model. As I said, there's machine learning, there's regressions, there's classifiers, there's vendors, there's Excel spreadsheets. It's the model that really we see as the first class asset within these large organizations, meaning that these are making decisions that are very impactful for top line growth, bottom line optimization, et cetera. So for us, it's about managing those models, whatever form factor they may be, agentic now and is the popular mainstream. So for us, think about it as when with other kind of traditional businesses, the ERP was helping to manage things like supply chain and customers and transactions, right? Those were first-class citizens within an enterprise. The models are so powerful now because they're making decisions on behalf of the business that also needs to be managed just like you would manage your customer database, right? So for us, it's about overseeing and managing those models at an enterprise level because they truly are business ingrained within the business and important to what they do day in, day out from a business perspective. That's what we focus on. Anything that's model related.
Model related stuff. This is really exciting. And it was wise for you guys to come up with this some years back and see this coming. And because it's now just, it's hit. And this is the way people are beginning to think more and more. And in terms of, there seems to be, at least at this point, a necessary piece of, you know, the customer success side of things, of helping folks figure stuff out. Is that absolutely required now? And do you have aspirations to getting to the point where it's like totally self-serve PLG, mm-hmm. where someone can just come straight to Model Up, get started with the basic plan, and then just jump in and start using it? Is that real? Because it's such a complicated problem to solve. Right. But yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So in the early years, as you can appreciate, Thomas, customer success was always required, right? Because there just wasn't anything that was defined. We were paving the way, as you can appreciate. But now what we see is that there is a level of maturity that some of our customers have reached, but they don't really need our help. Yeah, they might need some technical help to just get the product installed and integrate into that sort of thing. But they've come with, hey, I've already got an AI governance process defined, if you will. I've got my end-to-end model lifecycle defined. Fantastic. So it's a very light lift. I just got off the call with a large healthcare organization where they tried to do this on their own. They tried to use manual processes. And then they came back to us 10 months later. Oh my gosh, Dave, this is too hard, right? We can't do this manually. We need a system to manage all this. But hey, good news is we've got our processes defined, right? We know what we need to do. We just now need a product to help to automate and streamline what we're trying to do. So you'll see a sliding scale, Thomas, of some are mature enough to do it on their own. Many are still not. So it just depends.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Dave Trier, and there's a Model Op. And how do folks go ahead and get started? Obviously, you go to modelop.com and folks just request a demo and get started with you guys.
Yeah, that's right. Please reach out. I'll leave my contact information here as well with Thomas. So feel free to reach out to me directly as well. But certainly go to modelop.com, request a demo. We'd be happy to walk you through, talk through how this can be used within your enterprise.
Yeah, check him out, David Trier on LinkedIn and then modelop.com. Look forward to seeing how much you guys grow and succeed into the future. Very exciting stuff. Dave, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.